The Podfix Network.
Oh man, what a golden shovel start this is. Well, hello listeners, you're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more. Welcome to the show, I'm Toph. I'm once again joined by my regular co-host, Lord Saunders. How are you, sir?
I am f***ing fantastic, my compadre. It's good to be here with you again.
I know. So, on our last episode, which wasn't like a normal episode, we caught everyone up on our show business.
Right.
And now, we're going to do a normal episode.
Okay. I love normal episodes.
All right, well, Adam, with that, let's get started and take a look at the calendar special day so everyone knows what to celebrate this week.
It's a service to the public. We must do it.
So nice to say those words again. All right, so Adam, today is National Wiggle Your Toes Day.
Nice. You should do it in some sand. That feels the best.
Yeah, but I'm down with it. I'm down with wiggling my toes.
Yep, absolutely.
Tomorrow is National Lighthouse Day.
Also very important.
Also like lighthouses. I'm pro-lighthouse.
I too am pro-lighthouse.
Very controversial, but I stand by my opinion.
I stand with you, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Tuesday is Sneak Some Zucchini Into Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
That's called infidelity.
Okay. Wednesday's not Cat Day. It's not National Cat Day. It's International Cat Day.
Let's make that International Catapult Day. Way cooler.
Okay. I like catapults.
Yeah, me too. I'm pro catapult.
I also like trebuchets.
Oh, dude, you do not sleep on the trebuchets, bro. They will take you down.
That's right. Thursday is National Lazy Day. Definitely up for that.
Don't forget, though, I need to make a callback. I said in previous episodes that trebuchets are underrated and you don't get to say the word trebuchet enough.
Well, except on this show where we try to work it in as often as possible.
Right, so don't be lazy and say trebuchet.
I do like National Lazy Day. Friday is National Sons and Daughters Day, and you and I both have sons and daughters.
It's a wonderful thing, buddy. It's a wonderful thing.
It is. And then we will wrap up this week of terrific celebrations with National Middle Child Day.
Well, you know what my middle child did today? They had their second of two interviews for their very first job.
What?
All the smoothies I can get, bro.
That's great.
Yeah, super excited, and they are thrilled. So hopefully we'll hear back, and we can celebrate National Middle Child Day the proper way.
Now, I'm a middle child myself.
That's interesting. You seem more like a firstborn.
Okay, I'm going to pretend that... I can't tell. Like, is that a veiled insult?
No, not at all. You're a very driven individual, very independent, and you know, you don't really seem to have that middle child syndrome.
Well, my situation is a little unique in that my older sister is 3 years older, but my younger sister is 9 years younger.
Okay.
So for 9 years, I was the second of two. I was the youngest.
Okay.
And then I became a... But then my older sister grew up, you know, left. So I wasn't a middle child for very long.
Right.
I wasn't a traditional middle child.
Okay. That makes sense.
And I was the only boy. I was the, you know, I had two sisters. So I don't know. Okay. Who knows?
Well, further analysis is due.
Who knows what goes into the sauce that creates a toef?
The recipe is lost to history.
It's locked in a vault.
Right, it's in that seed vault where they keep all the seeds in case of an apocalypse.
That's exactly right. All right, Adam, well, with that, let's turn our attention to this week in history.
Yes, it's music to my ears to hear you say that, bud. So let's kick this one off, and the soundtrack for this first one should be Ride the Lightning from Metallica. And we'll start it off with, in 1890, the first execution by electric chair was done. So I know I probably shouldn't celebrate that, but that's an awesome date.
But it was in Texas.
I'd bet money it was in Texas. All right, so moving on to the 1900s. In 1926, Gertrude Ederle becomes the first woman to swim the English Channel. So she inspired my journey.
I was going
to
say, you've done that.
Yep. Now it's old hat, but hey, she was the first woman to do it. So way to go. In 1930, Joseph Force Crater becomes the most missingest man in New York. Now, beat that, bud. How do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's exactly the way the headline was written. The most missingest.
Well, I might claim to be the most missingest man in Texas.
I don't even know what most missingness means, but that's what it said.
Well, I guess you're missing more than most people.
What does that mean? That's so weird.
We'll never know.
No, because we don't do more than cursory research.
No, that's a flat rule we have to remind the listeners of.
That's one thing that has not changed since we last did the show.
No, not even a little bit. So we're good there. In 1936, Jesse Owens wins the 4th gold medal in Your Face Hitler. I'm sure that was awkward. Moving to a couple, we're gonna fast forward now about 40 years. In 1974, Philippe Petit walks on a tightrope between the Twin Towers.
And you've basically done that.
Yeah. I mean, again, now it's a thing, but I do want to say like how absolutely insane that is.
Yeah, pretty insane.
I can't even imagine. Was that the guy who like also like laid down on the rope in the middle? I mean, what a...
Are you asking follow-up questions?
It was cursory thinking. Cursory thinking.
No, that's more than cursory, Adam.
All right. I think you're right. I should probably move on.
You're setting off the alarm that goes off in our studio when you ask too many questions.
All right. Well, you kill the flashing light. I'll move on.
Okay.
The button is right next to the amazing fact generator, which I think is broken still.
Don't badmouth the amazing fact generator. You know what happens.
It is amazing. I love that thing.
That is an amazing fact.
So here's an interesting fact. In 1977, the son of Sam Killer is arrested. Thank God.
Yeah.
Because people dying, not good.
Bad dude.
Yeah, bad dude. In 1988, the first night game at Wrigley Field was played. Isn't that crazy? In 88.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like it was like that long ago.
Uh-uh.
But you know what else happened in 1988? The great one gets traded. Now, I know you're probably not familiar with that athlete, but they got traded.
Are you familiar with that athlete?
Wayne Gretzky?
Okay, I'm just asking. Dude, by the way, I think I've said in past years when this has come up, and I still stand by this, dumbest trade in the history of sports.
Okay, even worse than the trade of Randy Johnson.
Was Randy Johnson called the Great One when he was starting when he was about 11?
That's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on to do amazing things.
Of course he did.
Well, moving along, in 1996, researchers claimed to have found signs of Martian life in the Antarctic meteorite.
I call BS.
Same. In 2010, a JetBlue flight attendant quits their job via the escape slide.
I love that so much.
I'd like to call plausible deniability that it was me. Like, I want to do that so badly, is to go on the escape slide without minus like the crash and death and stuff.
Right.
And that's it, buddy.
All right, Adam. Well, with that, let's move on to the news.
The news, which happens to have a favorite jingle of mine.
Okay, Adam. I want you to get comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
Because the story I'm about to tell you is a doozy.
Okay.
You know, if we're going to be gone for a year, I'm going to come back with my fastball.
Yeah, you better have like this like two knuckler coming down.
Yeah. So I would like to introduce you to someone named Corey Richens.
Okay.
Do you recognize that name?
Nope.
All right, well, then I have a yarn to spin.
Your spin's in the yarn.
Speaking of raconteurs. So she was recently arrested and charged with killing her husband, Eric Richens. Last year, during what is described as a quiet celebration at their home in Camas, Utah, which is about 40 miles southeast of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Court documents reveal secret life insurance policies, stolen money, a contentious court battle, and the hiring of a private investigator.
Oh, perfect.
Now, this is a bit of a long story, and I'm going to go through it as quickly as possible, but I want you to jump in as often as you like.
Okay.
So a medical examiner said that Eric Richens had 5 times the lethal dosage of fentanyl in his system at the time of his death on March 4th, 2022.
Wow.
He had suspected that his wife had tried to poison him multiple times and warn his family that she was to blame if anything happened. So he told his friends and family, hey, if I turn up dead, it's probably my wife.
It's probably because I was poisoned to death.
And you might say, well, why did you stay with her? Because that was my first question.
Right.
And according to a family spokesperson, it was because they had 3 children together. But I would say to that, lots of people that have children separate.
Yeah. Yeah, get divorced and separate and
so,
move on.
If you're pretty convinced that your wife is trying to kill you, you could have 12 children and you should probably get away from her.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because the kids will, you can work something out with them. There's no reason to stay just for that reason.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Yep.
So, Adam, perhaps the best way to tell this story is through a timeline of events. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to go through this fairly quickly if I can. Okay. So between 2015 and 2017... without her husband's knowledge, Richens purchased $2 million in life insurance on him. Then in September of 2020, Eric Richens discovered that his wife had obtained and spent, and you're going to enjoy this list, a $250,000 home equity line of credit. She withdrew $100,000 from his bank accounts and spent more than $30,000 on his credit cards.
Wow.
She was also, in quotes, appropriating distributions made from Eric Richens' business for the purpose of making quarterly tax payments, but not actually paying the taxes. The stolen tax payments totaled $135,000. And when he confronted her about these things, she agreed to pay him back.
Okay, great.
She's like, I'm so sorry. I'll pay you back for that. I should not have done that.
Pay no attention to this horrible amount of things I've done. I'll pay it back. I owe you.
Right. No. I'll pay you back. So then in October, he secretly consulted with a divorce lawyer and an estate attorney. And he changed his will. He formed a living trust and placed his estate under the control of his sister. And she'll come up later. He also transferred his partnership interest in his business into the trust and designated the trust as the beneficiary of a $500,000 life insurance policy. Fast forward to January 1 of 2022. So over a year went by, nothing notable. But then January 1, of about a year and a half later, Eric Richens and his business partner had $2 million in life insurance policies that listed each other as the beneficiaries. But Corey Richens changed the policy to make herself the beneficiary.
How could she do that?
I don't know. So, of course, her husband discovered what she had done and then changed it back. And then later in the month, she allegedly, and this is also in quotes, caused an application to be filed for a $100,000 life insurance policy on Eric Richens. So if you're keeping score at home, that's 2 different life insurance policies, and then a third where she changed the beneficiary to herself.
Okay, I mean, so you have life insurance, so you know what a tedious process it is to get it.
Yes.
Like, they can just say the words premeditated and they win the case, because here's a mountain of evidence against you.
Oh, we haven't even begun to scale the mountain. So February 12th, just a few weeks later, Corey Richens either called or texted an acquaintance named CL and asked for fentanyl. Authorities aren't able to determine the content of the messages because she deleted them from her phone just before her husband's death. But CL told authorities that she had obtained the fentanyl pills and gave them to Richards. Then on Valentine's Day, February 14th of 2022, that turned into a total nightmare when Eric Richens broke out in hives and had difficulty breathing after eating a sandwich that his maid wife for him. Apparently, Corey Richens made the sandwich and placed it on the seat of his truck with a love note, but after eating it, Eric Richens became ill and had to use his son's EpiPen, otherwise he would have died from eating his sandwich. And then he told a friend that he thought his wife was trying to kill him. Then a couple weeks later, she allegedly contacted CL again and said, the fentanyl pills you gave me weren't strong enough. I need stronger ones. And CL told authorities that Richens asked for some Michael Jackson stuff.
Wow.
Which, if people remember, in 2009, Michael Jackson died after receiving a lethal dose of not fentanyl, but propofol.
Right.
And CL again supplied her with the pills. Then, March 3rd, it was discovered that Corey Richens owed more than $1 million. The day before her husband died, she talked to a moneylender to whom she owed $1.8 million and had a lengthy telephone call with the IRS. She had outstanding state and federal tax liabilities totaling $200,000 and also owed her husband at least $500,000. So just right there, that's $2.5 million in debt.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. So then the very next day, Eric Richens, age 39, died after he was found unresponsive in the bedroom of their home after having a drink to celebrate his wife's business deal. I guess she was in real estate or investing or something. Now, she told authorities that they were celebrating the closing of the house that she had sold, and that she gave her husband a Moscow mule in the kitchen and brought it to him while he was laying in their bed, and he drank it and gave him the drink. It says that, but then prosecutors have said that she slipped five times the lethal dose of fentanyl into the cocktail, and because that's what was revealed in the medical examiner's report. Now, she said in an affidavit that he had a shot of alcohol and a THC gummy. That's what she told them.
Yep, that's what does it.
Yeah, so that I don't think that can kill you. Maybe. That's like a really, really strong one, but I don't think so.
Yeah, no way.
What she said was that she fell asleep in one of her children's bedrooms, and then when she woke up, she went back into their bedroom and found her husband unresponsive. And then she claimed that she gave him CPR, but then when fire rescue and medical personnel arrived, they found evidence that she definitely did not give him CPR.
Sorry, didn't do it, lady.
But she also claimed that she left her phone plugged in up in their bedroom. However, they found evidence that was definitely also not true.
Dang.
2 days after he died, she hires a locksmith to break into his safe, which apparently contains $150,000 in cash. And then Eric Richens' sister confronts her, and they get into a fight, and Eric Richens' sister punches Corey Richens in the face and neck. And then the police are called and blah, 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 blah. And then that's when Corey Richens was told that, hey, you're not the beneficiary of that your husband created a trust and you have nothing to do with the trust.
I love that. A little piece of karma there.
Right. And then a few more days go by and the mysterious CL told authorities that Corey Richens left pills in a fire pit at one of the houses that she owns. And then they went and recovered the fentanyl pills. And then in July, her sister Katie hires an investigator to go investigate. And then they get into a legal battle over the estate and the trust. And then, so nothing really happens after that for several months. And then March 7th of 2023, a little over a year after her husband's death, she publishes a book titled, this is a children's book, titled Are You With Me?
Oh, no.
Which is a book that she writes and publishes about helping her and her children and other families cope with the death of their father.
Oh my God.
And it's not available now, but it was available on Amazon.
Oh, what an absolute B.
Yeah. So then a month later, so she's not done. So she writes and publishes this book. And then a month later, she goes on an interview with local television to discuss the book and her husband's death, which she said happened unexpectedly and that it took him by surprise. And then, and that she wrote the book to help with the grieving process. The station later updated its story to say it was not aware that she was suspected of her husband's death.
Well, yeah.
So she goes on to promote her book. Apparently they did no research whatsoever. And then of course they had to do a correction after that. So then on May the 8th, that's when it all starts to unravel, because that's when Richens is finally arrested on charges of aggravated murder and three counts of possession of a controlled substance with the intent to distribute, which that part I don't understand, because doesn't that mean you're trying to sell it?
Yeah, that's what you think, right?
I don't think she was trying to sell it. I think she was definitely trying to kill her husband.
Well, she was going to distribute it to her husband to kill him.
Yeah, distribute it to one person and a lot of it, like all of it.
All of it.
She was going to distribute all of the pills she acquired to one single person.
That's right.
Yeah. And she, of course, entered a plea and is due in court on June the 12th, the new date for her detention hearing. So.
Wow.
June the 12th comes around, Adam. I'm not quite done. June the 12th comes around, and the judge says, no, I don't think that we're going to release you. I think we're just going to keep you in jail because, as he says, the substantial evidence against her.
Correct.
So anytime a judge uses the phrase substantial evidence against you, it's not a good thing for you.
Right, because like there's like a whole jury and everything, so if he's like, hate to tell you, lady, the chips are not in your favor.
Yeah, it's not going your way. Another indication that it wasn't going her way is that during the hearing, prosecutors called several expert witnesses. Her defense attorney called zero witnesses.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not a good sign. And then the judge's decision to deny bail was heavily influenced by her internet search history.
Yep.
Which this is now a new thing that's come up in a lot of these stories that I've really come to love. And so I'm going to share with you a few of her search phrases. Are you ready?
Well, yes, because people, everyone's like, well, and the suspect search history showed, how do I do this crime and then get away with it?
Right. It's like, right.
Okay.
So similar to that, here are a few things that Corey Richens searched. What is a lethal dose of fentanyl? Can cops force you to do a lie detector test?
Oh.
Here's one of my favorites. Luxury prisons for the rich in America.
Luxury prisons.
Then there's this one. Death certificate says pending. Will life insurance still pay?
Oh, no.
I'm not done. There's two more. If someone is poisoned, what does it go down on the death certificate as?
Murder.
And the last one, how to permanently delete information from an iPhone remotely.
Wow. I mean, all kinds of dumb.
Right. Right.
So, you know, these cases, it always surprises me. Because it's like, okay, so you're willing to go to these extreme lengths, but for a reward that probably won't cover your debt or your lifestyle, and you're definitely not going to get away with it.
Right.
Exactly, she's not a smart person because she, again, as I mentioned before, unbeknownst, I had not heard that, said, it's like, how to do the crime, and then how to get away with it.
Let me bring it home, Adam.
Okay.
Because I'm about to reveal the identity of the mysterious CL.
Okay.
Her name is Carmen Marie Lauber, age 51. And she was first linked over a series of text messages, like we mentioned, to Corey Richens. She was described as a housekeeper who was often used by Corey Richens for her real estate business. She's also a convicted drug dealer.
Oh, okay. So she knew right where to go.
and has confessed to selling Richens two batches of fentanyl in the weeks leading up to her husband's death. She admitted to supplying Corey Richens with 15 to 30 pills on separate occasions. And she provided details of the solicitation of the drugs, the pickup and drop-off location, and other pertinent details that have been corroborated with digital forensic evidence.
Oh my God. That's so crazy.
Adam, the trial for Corey Richens is underway.
I hope they like live stream this and like they did the Johnny Depp case.
Yeah.
I know that I was watching that crap every day.
Now, I would say that we'll bring details of this story to the listeners on future episodes. I don't think we need to. I think we can just assume she's going to be convicted.
Oh, yeah. She's going away for a long time. But you know what we do need an update on from you, sir?
What's that?
The Murdoch case.
Oh, well, I mean, I could do that in 10 seconds or less. I mean, basically, he's been convicted of everything. Like, he was convicted of the double murder of his wife and son. He's about to be convicted on dozens of financial crimes. He could actually be charged with a bunch of more crimes. Everybody else that helped him with all that stuff, they're all starting to fall one at a time. Like, it's all falling in on him.
Boy, it's a good thing that Corey Richens didn't meet him. They would have been like a vortex of, like, you know, killing each other.
Yeah, Alec Murdaugh went down hardcore on everything.
Yep, I love that. His pictures, too, as he was going down.
That guy's a complete goofball.
Yeah.
And a double murder, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, don't have time for our next story, but I do have a headline.
Oh, come on.
I do have a headline.
All right, fine.
I have a headline.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
I have no choice.
Man jailed for performing sex act while kneeling over captured seagull.
Oh, what? What?
Did you need me to read that again?
Yes, please.
Man jailed for performing sex act while kneeling over captured seagull.
Yeah, I'm trying to... You know, I try never to, like, shame someone's yum-yums, but this case, I think, is definitely deserves shame. Shame.
Yeah, so we'll make, I guess we'll make every possible effort to get to that in a future episode.
Well, I mean, it's no flaming dildo, but it's something.
Fair enough. All right, Adam, how about we get along to birthdays?
All right, well, we need to do some quick hits since we're running long. So why don't I just like cruise through these and hit them hard?
Do it.
All right. First one, Ja Morant turns 24. Jalen Hurts turns 25. Dan Levy turns 40, and he is an amazing person. He and Chris Hemsworth turned 40, and as a member, as I know people from that club, it's a big freaking day for them. So brilliant, brilliant actors. Deion Sanders turns 56, legend. Another legend, Sir Mix-a-Lot, turns 60. Can you believe that?
I cannot.
60. Antonio Banderas turns 63. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden turns 65. Fun fact, he's also a commercial airline pilot. Hulk Hogan turns 70, brother. 70.
Brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother. Sam Elliott turns 79, another genius, and Dustin Hoffman turns 86, if you can believe that.
Legends.
All right, how about some born this week, but now dead?
All right, thank you, Clay Groves. The following people were born on this day, but are now dead. Adam, Andy Warhol, died in 1987 at the age of 58. Today he would be 95.
Wow.
Comedy royalty Lucille Ball died in 1989 at the age of 77. Today she'd be 112. And Adam, this one's for you, buddy.
Okay.
JonBenet Ramsey died in 1996 at the age of 6. Today she would be 33.
Can you imagine? 33, dude.
Yep.
Poor little JonBenet.
All right, Adam. The familiar and soothing sound of Death Clock can only mean one thing.
Do anything for Death Clock. Do anything for Death Clock.
The only thing that can mean is that a death clock has been triggered.
Oh, man. Who triggered a death clock?
Adam, entertainment legend William Shatner recently produced a documentary about himself called You Can Call Me Bill. And it was released on back in March, on March 16th on Netflix. It's probably terrific. I haven't seen it, but go watch it. His motivation, in his own words, for the project was, I don't have long to live.
Wow. I thought it was going to be titled something like, I Shatner the Bed or something.
So when he uttered those words out into the world...
He triggered his own death clock.
Yes.
That's
yes,
like a, it, that's a whole mind job right there.
Okay, so Adam, due to our Ed Asner experience,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this thrusts the interns at Gravity Beard into very familiar territory, right?
Right.
This is a road we've been down before, which is the death clock. Mm-hmm. We've dealt with death clocks before.
Yep.
I was accused. Matter. I was accused, and I was pardoned.
But barely.
But I was. That's yep. all that matters.
When occurred.
When did occur. Not by Ed Asner, but by me.
By you, right.
However, Adam, like I said on the last episode, this current death clock comes with a twist, and you've already said it. We've never had someone trigger their own death clock.
Well, then how do you know what the time end is?
It's always a year.
Oh, that's right.
The death clock is always a year.
It's always a year,
so,
right.
Yeah, so here we go. And this is one of the reasons why I'm glad that we've relaunched the show. The countdown started the day he uttered those words, which was on March 16th of this year. March 16th, 2023, the one-year death clocks began. And so as of today, William Shatner has 221 days until he's no longer responsible for his own death.
Come on, Bill.
Yeah.
You
he's
can
got
do
221
it, buddy.
More days.
He can do it.
Yes. So now on each episode, I don't know if it's going to be weekly or whatever, but on each episode, we will give you updates on how many days are left on the William Shatner self-triggered death clock.
I can't wait to hear these updates and that jingle.
Best of luck to Big Bill Shatner.
Right. Yeah, of course.
We have one more thing before we go.
Okay.
Word got out that we established a new hotline number.
Right.
And we have a celebrity caller that called in and welcomed us back.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
Yeah, so I think we should listen to that now.
Yeah.
Hello, Gravity Beard. This week today, it's been so long since you guys have been around, I'm not sure what to call you anymore. But I heard there's new episodes of This Week's Day coming out. I just wanted to call. And in case you forgot, and you don't recognize my voice, I am six-time NBA champion Michael Jordan.
Hey!
Hey!
This is how I talk. A lot of things going on in my life since you guys were last on. I don't know if you heard or not, but they named the MVP award in the NBA after me. Well, so that kind of seals the deal, I think, on me being a great one. You know, could maybe a logo, but I'll let Jerry West have that one. I heard it was down to two people for the MVP award, myself and Keith Gala. They're going to name it. And I was really worried. I'm a betting guy, but I was really worried about it. And I was told that... I was told that, well, Keith hasn't played in the NBA, and that's what got me naming rights instead of him. So, yeah. Congrats to both of us, I guess. But anyway, six-time NBA champion, multi-time MVP, officially the name on the MVP trophy. Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I'm giving you guys a call back. Welcome you back. We miss you. Later.
That is awesome.
Dude, to be welcomed back by arguably one of the greatest sports athletes of all time, of whom we've talked about two today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's funny because they named the trophy after him. You know who they didn't name the trophy after? LeBron freaking James.
They will never name a trophy after LeBron James.
Unless it's a trophy about who quits the most.
The quitter's trophy.
The quitter's trophy, yeah. So when you go to AA, you get a LeBron trophy.
No, I mean, Michael Jordan might be the greatest athlete of all time. And, you know, listen, I would not have been upset if they would have named the NBA MVP trophy after Keith Gala, because he's also an MVP.
Well, yeah,
but obviously. But I think they made the right choice.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it like Jordan said, tough call, but, you know, I think it's probably more appropriate to go to Michael Jeffrey Jordan in this case, right? But
in this very specific case.
In this very, which is very thin, because, I mean, let's be honest and ask the question, have you heard of Gravity Beard? And then, Keith Gala.
That's right. Right. That's right.
And that's more important than anything else, so.
Yeah, I'm actually almost a little bit jealous, because even though we're the hosts of the podcast, a lot of people know Keith associated with the show almost better than they associate us with the show.
That's right. That's right.
Because he's performed at such a high level and contributed so many things to the show.
Yeah, he's that MVP, bro.
Yeah, he's broadly an MVP, whereas Michael Jordan, he's only the NBA MVP.
Right, which is one thing.
Yeah, that's right. But that's great, man. Sports royalty welcoming us back to our show after our long break.
I know, that's insane, dude. What a welcome return, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And Adam, that brings us to the end of this episode of This Week Today.
Damn it.
I know, I'm sorry. It's the it's both sides of the coin of relaunching the show, am I right?
I know. What have you done to me, bro? Thanks a lot.
Let's finish up with some brief credits. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching @ThisWeekPod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 818-308-4348. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search @PodFix on Twitter. Thank you to our friend Phil Root for our custom logo. For my pal Lord Saunders, I'm your co-host Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
It's been great to have you back, buddy. It's great to hear you. Great to talk with you. Everybody, come back soon.
This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network.
We haven't lost a step, Adam.
Nope. Not a single one.
It's like she's getting right back on the bicycle.
Yep.
Is that a thing? Is that something that people say?
No.
Oh, am I close? Am I kind of dancing around something people say?
I don't think so.
Getting back on the horse.
No, it's not that. It's,
No, people get back on the horse.
No.
I was mixing metaphors.
They get back on the tiger.
There is no way that's correct.
It's way more logical.
Explain.
Well, you know, you get the tiger blood, baby.
You're making no sense whatsoever, and everyone listening knows that.
Well, looks like we're back then, baby.